there's a word in Psalm 65 and verse 11, and I want to open up with this, and it says, Psalm 65 and the 11th verse says, Lord, you crown the year with your goodness, and your paths drip with abundance. You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths drip with abundance. And you know, isn't that just so God? It's just God's aroma and God's flavor all over it. And so, you know, I love that verse. And I love what God is speaking to us there. But I'm looking forward to 2019. How many are looking forward to 2019? You know, God gave our pastor, you know, the father in this house, Pastor Paul, he gave him the prophetic word way back in, when was it? Was it October? I know it was early this year, of September. September, October, around about that time. But God gave Pastor Paul the prophetic word that 2019 would be called the year of new beginnings. Amen? The year of new beginnings. Turn to your neighbor and say, new beginnings.
New beginnings.
Turn to your neighbor and your other side and say, new beginnings.
New beginnings.
Amen. So 2019 is our year of new beginnings. And it's like, you know, I've got a question for you. What does new beginnings mean to you? Now, what does that mean to you? We know what the word new and beginning mean in themselves. But what does the year of new beginnings mean to you personally? Can I just have some answers? Just shout out. What does it mean? Just shout out. You know, it can be one word. Just what does new beginnings speak about to you personally? Any answers? Any questions? Sorry? New experiences with God. Amen. That's a great one. Yes. Any others? Amen. Learning from the, I like that. Learning from the old and doing it differently this time around. Amen. I think you're going to preach my message for me. Amen. Okay, any others?
Transformation.
Yep, that's wonderful. Any others? A new beginning to come. Oh, something ending and a new beginning so that a new beginning can come. Amen. Absolutely. And so, you know, there are many. For me, the word that God gave to me personally was, the new beginnings was a fresh start. A fresh start. Everyone say fresh start.
Fresh.
Everyone say fresh.
Fresh.
And start.
Start.
You know, and that's the word that God gave to me personally, that 2019 marks a fresh start. And you know, you say, why? You know, why did God speak that to me personally in that way? Because, you know, it's an opportunity. Someone said it right, that is to wipe the old slate clean. Yeah, everyone get that? So, you know, you've put chalk, you've written, and you've done your scribbles and all your stuff, right and wrong. But you're going to wipe the old stuff clean and start afresh. It's a new beginning. Beginning, start all over again. A fresh start. So let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Isaiah and our keynote scripture. And I believe that this is the key scripture that God gave to Pastor Paul for us as a church. Isaiah chapter 43 and the 18th verse. It's really Isaiah 43 verses 18 and 19. But let's start in with verse 18. So Isaiah, and if we can have it in the Amplified version, please. Do we have the Amplified? Let's just blow it up a little bit. Isaiah 43 and verse 18. It says, do not earnestly remember the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Everyone say new thing.
New thing.
Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive and know it? And will you not give heed to it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Amen. And that's our God, that he's doing a new thing. But know that he starts, first of all, by speaking about the old. In our situation right now, it's the current. But he says, do not remember, do not ponder the things of the past. You know, somebody put it this way, you know, leave the past where it belongs. Amen? And that is in the past. See, there is nothing you can do now to change your past. Amen? But we can impact and influence our futures. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And so we are going forwards. You know, I love the way the Apostle Paul in Scripture put it in the book of Philippians in chapter 3 and the 13th verse. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 13. And it's really the B part of that verse. And he says, I do not consider, brethren, that I have captured and made it my own yet. He said, but one thing I do, just one thing I do, it's my one aspiration, forgetting. Everyone say forgetting.
Forgetting.
Forgetting what lies behind and straining towards what lies ahead. Forgetting what lies behind and straining towards what lies ahead. How many are straining towards what lies ahead in 2019? Amen. I know that I am. That's every single one. Straining towards what God has for us. You know, God has so much stuff in his storehouse. You know, new cars. If anything I say resonates with you, just say amen and grab it. Amen. New houses, new properties. Amen. New schools. Amen. New jobs. New careers. Amen. So much news of new relationships. And all those singles said, amen. Amen. God has new relationships in store for you. Amen. In 2019. You know, you need to grab it and say that this is your year of the new thing. God wants to do something new in your life in 2019. But you see, God doesn't want us. I wrote this down. God said to me that we can't go into 2019 holding on to the baggage of 2018. You can't go into 2019 holding on to the baggage of 2018. You can't go into the baggage of, you can't go into the new year holding on to the baggage of the old year. Amen. God wants you to go in free, free from your past, free from all that clutter, free from all the junk. You know, as we go along life's journey, you know, stuff happens to everyone. You know, the rains and the floods, they beat upon the house that was built upon the rock, as well as upon the house that was built upon the sand. Amen?
Amen?
So it doesn't discern, you know, the enemy, we have an enemy, which is Satan, is the enemy of our souls. And, you know, he doesn't say, oh, he doesn't, in fact, he'll probably choose you to throw his stuff at. Amen? I bet he was trying to single out my wife, you know, for those accidents. But the Bible says, greater is he that is in us
Amen.
Than he that's in the world. Amen?
Amen?
And so we can't take the baggage of 2018 into 2019. And the baggage is all those disappointments, all those things that didn't quite work out, didn't quite go the way that we wanted them to go. All of the stuff, all of the hiccups that we endured and went through. But you know, the Bible says we're going to leave that behind. But God does want us, and listen to this, God does want us to learn the lessons from our past. Can you say amen?
Yeah.
God wants us to learn the lessons. He doesn't want us to take the past in with us, but he wants us to learn through those things that we've gone through. Amen?
Amen.
And so we're going to go on a journey this morning. And we're going to look at some stuff, or this afternoon even. You know, as human beings, you know, we are creatures of habits, aren't we? You know, we have so many habits. And the great thing about habits, you know, I was writing down some definitions I was looking at. And it says, habit, an acquired behavior pattern regularly followed until it has become almost involuntary. An acquired behavior pattern regularly followed until it has become almost involuntary. It says it's a routine or practice performed regularly, an automatic response to a specific situation. You know, so habits inhabit us. Yeah? Habits are something that we do almost on autopilot. And you could argue that in some sense, We've come arrived now at the door of 2019. You've just been repeating your habits over and over and over again. Amen? And someone said, if you do the same thing the same way, guess what? It's no surprise when you get the same results. Yeah? And so, as humans, because we're creatures of habits, we kind of automatically repeat stuff. Even if it's bad, even if it's negative, even if it's self-defeating. You know, we encourage people. One thing we do is to encourage people to make New Year's resolutions. How many have made New Year's resolutions? Yeah? There's no hands going up. I've dodged that one. You know where that's going. Because so often people have made New Year's resolutions. Okay, this new year, I'm going to go to the gym and exercise and work out. Do you know the people who own gyms, that's where they make their money at New Year's resolutions. Because people make New Year's resolutions to go to the gym, and then they go for 1 month and 2 months, and guess what? Kind of fizzles out, and they don't get any more. But you know, those subscriptions keep on rolling. Ka-ching! And the gym guys just rubbing their hands. Because you're paying for it, but you're not actually going and taking advantage of it like you should. You know, people make New Year's resolutions, they're going to eat healthier. And then after all that Christmas pudding and Christmas turkey and stuff, Vivian, you made an absolutely wonderful cake. Thank you so much. Now, Vivian baked the most beautiful, gorgeous, yummy cake. Can we give her a round of applause? But you know, I've got to be down in the gym working that stuff off because it was calorific. And so, you know, we make so many New Year's resolutions, but in no time at all, we break them. But you know, that's not God's best for us. So we encourage people to set goals. And how many have heard of SMART goals? Specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, etc. Yep, you've heard about that, goals. But you know that goals just in themselves don't work by themselves. I'm going to make a confession here because, you know, Pastor Joe, and it's to Pastor Joe, because Mary came home the other day and said to me, Temi, you've got to listen to this. And she played for me, shared with me Pastor Joe's message to her small group there. But wow, my goodness, that just impacted me, my heart, so, so much. And just really just spoke into my heart for the new year. Because it really speaks about habits and about how, you know, it's basically, she was sharing what she gleaned from a book written by a guy called James Clear. Am I right? Yeah. James Clear's book. And he wrote this book called Atomic Habits. And really, he dissected the whole concept and the psychology behind habits, how we do them, why we do them, and how we need to have good habits, amen, that set us up and break down and get rid of the bad habits. But it was such a powerful, powerful book. And but to summarize, I love something that she said, and I wrote this down too. And it says, goals don't work by themselves. Goals only work, and listen to this, if they're backed up by a system. And systems only work, okay, if they're backed up by habits. And habits only last long term if they're linked to an identity. I love the example that she gave. And she said, you know, she said, I'm a runner. So how many know that Pastor Joe is a runner? How many can relate to that? Amen. Yep. I remember when she started running, and I was there. Well, I think it's when she started, because I was invited to come along and run with her. And it was fantastic in the moment. But you know, I think I woke up in the hospital. Thoroughly winded. True story. I just had these, my heart was like racing and stuff. I thought, crumbs, what's going on? Please call me an ambulance. Well, I'm still trying to keep up. But, you know, it's that running is Pastor Jo's identity. That is who she is. Not just what she does, but it's who she is. She is a runner. And really, for our habits to really bed in and to be maintained and sustained, they are linked in to our identity. And in the book, there's a very powerful story that the author writes and tells in that book, Atomic Habits. And it's about the English or the British cycling team. And, you know, the story goes that for almost 100 years, the British cycling team was just mediocre, basically. Hadn't won anything. I think they'd won one medal in 100 years. You could argue that that was a mistake. That was a fluke. Anybody could do that. One in 100 years. But, you know, but then there was something happened. They hired a new coach. The guy's name, what's the guy's name? Dave Brailsford. Now, when Dave Brailsford came on the scene, okay, he did something really special. And what he did was so special that it literally revolutionized the English cycling team. So they went from zero, from mediocre, from not winning anything at all, barely anything at all, in 100 years, to in 5 years, from 2008 onwards, they became the dominant team in cycling, in world cycling. They won at the 2008 Olympics. They won 60%, get this, from zero to 60% of the gold medals in the 2008 Olympics. 4 years later, they broke 9 Olympic records. They set 7 world records. What did he do? That was like a radical, awesome change. You know what? He did lots of tiny changes across a whole spectrum of stuff they were doing. So, for instance, the actual seats that they sat on, what were the most comfortable biking seats for them to sit on to do races? He made some small adjustments to give them to make those seats the best that they could be. They applied alcohol to the tires of the bicycles so that they had better grip and traction when they rode them. They hired a surgeon to teach the team how to wash their hands to reduce the risk of them catching coughs and colds. They had better riding gear suits, so they looked forensically at what they were wearing when they were cycled. They actually looked at the gel, the muscle gel that they rubbed on their muscles that would give them the fastest recovery rate after a race or if they had an injury. And so all these little things, so many tiny things, they looked at the mattresses and the pillows that they slept on to give them the very best so that they could have the best sleep and feel the most refreshed. And so it wasn't one particular thing. So often we think that it's one big thing, one massive thing that makes a very big change that is the answer. But just a 1% increase across lots of different, a whole spectrum of different things made the difference over time. And it's something that Brailsford called it the aggregation of marginal gains. Tiny improvements across a spectrum of different things, not just one big thing. You get the point? Yeah. And God decided to speak to my heart that, you know, it's the small things. The Bible says a little here, a little there. Right. Amen? A little here and a little there. Line upon line, precept upon precept. So lots of little things. And God was speaking to me, to my heart, that, you know, 2019, that for the big result that we all want to see, the massive change that we all look at making, that, you know, it's going to be the aggregation of lots of tiny little things, lots of fine-tuning of little things in our lives, little adjustments in our lives that will make the big difference. And it's so important. And so who is God calling you to be in 2019? Remember I said it's about linked to our identity. It's who we are. Who has God called me to be in 2019? What kind of father is God calling me to be in 2019? What kind of son does God want me to be in 2019? What kind of husband does God want me to be in 2019? What kind of husband do I want to become? Do I want to become a lazy husband who sits down and does nothing? Do I want to become a bad father? No, none of us want that. But it's the little changes. It's the small adjustments here and there that we need to make. It's a tiny improvement that long-term produces a huge difference. You know, there's a wonderful scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. If you can have that in the New King James Version, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and the 16th verse. And it says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day. The outward man is perishing, but the inward man is being renewed. You know, new beginnings, there's lots of things that are being renewed on the inside day by day. Lots of things being renewed. You know that every time, you know, one that God spoke about, every time a message is preached from this pulpit right here, Bible says, you know what, we should be doers of the word and not hearers only. So every time a word is preached from this pulpit, I'm going to say, Lord, what's my part? Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want to adjust? What is it you're trying to fine-tune and adjust in me personally? How many have heard a message and you think, wow, I know that that word is great for so-and-so person, yeah? So many times. Oh, such a shame. They're not in church today. If only so-and-so was here. Well, what about you? They said every time you point the finger, guess what? At least three point back to you. And so every time a message is preached from this pulpit, we need to ask, what's the word for me personally? What's my part? Lord, what's the action? You see, what's the action that you want me to do to carry out based on this word that is being preached to me today? Amen? Bible says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. You know, the Bible says, you know, each of us has been called. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. I want to look at two scriptures. Romans 8 and verse 28. It says, and we know that all things work together for good, for those who love God, for those who are called according to his purpose. Do you know what? That's every single one of us. Every single one of us is called according to his purpose. And so there's a call on your life. There's a call on my life. And so there's a call for you. I'm looking at dads in this house. Something about dads today. But there's a call on every dad's life to be the dad that God has called you to be. You see, we become who he has already called us to be. That's our identity. He's called you dad. No, you're not just a dad biologically, but he's called you into that ministry as a father, as a dad. And so it's a calling, and it's a high, every calling of God is a high calling. And so he's called you. If you're a mom, God has called you as a mom. You're the mother of those kids, and they call you mom. But God has called you as to be, you know, their mom. If you're a brother, if you're a sister, same thing. If you're a grandmother or a grandfather, same thing. God has called you. See, but you're going to become the best version of who God has called you to be. See, we can be mediocre and remain that way, or we can respond to God's word, to his calling, and become all that he has called us to be. Amen? And that's really the nub of my message, that God wants you to become all that he has called you to be. You see, when God changed Abraham's name from Abraham to Abraham, it's like every time somebody called him Abraham, they were calling him what? Father of multitudes. So every time they said that, every time he heard that, he was father of multitudes. And he became what he heard continuously again and again and again. Now, every time we hear a word from this pulpit, God is saying something to us. God is making a fine tune and a tweak within us. Amen. There's some tiny adjustment. It may seem small at the time, but long term, guess what? By the end of 2019, you look back and say, my, look how far the Lord has taken me. Amen. Hallelujah. And so God wants to do that in each one of us, in each one of our hearts. You know, I think of a couple of personal examples in my own life. You know, I want to be, I'm speaking about father, I want to be the best dad that God has called me to be. But you know, some little changes. So in my house, I'll tell you one of my habits. So one of my habits is when I get back from work, you know, I like to flick on the box. I like to have my dinner, but in front of the TV, listening to the news. Yeah, me and Mr. Snow have this kind of thing going on. So he tells it, I listen. He speaks, I listen. And so, you know, so I will come home from work and the kids, my wife, will be at the table. But guess where dad will be? He'll be not far from the table. I can see them. They're within eyesight. But I'm not at the table with them. So I'll sit down. I'll have my dinner. And I'll chat with Mr. Snow. He'll tell me, and I'll be arguing. I'll say, no, that's not correct. That's fake news. That's Mr. Trump. But, you know, I won't be at the table with my kids and my wife. And that's been one of my habits. And so for me, the tiny fine-tuning adjustment, you know, I've started already. And the other day, my son said to me, so, Dad, exactly. You can nose it. Been there. Takes one to know one. He said, Dad, what are you doing at the table? Am I not allowed to sit my family at the table? What are you doing at the table, Dad? So I thought you were listening. I said, I'll listen to it later. He was confused. He said, something's gone wrong. But you know, that's one of the tiny adjustments that I need to make. Amen? You know, I'll give you another one. Another big one for me. You see, my name, Temi, you can juggle those letters around. Guess what else it can spell? Time. You got it. Time. T-I-M-E. Time. Temi Timo. Temi Timo. I need to do something about my time keeping. And, you know, my wife told me this lovely story because, you know, she's the opposite. You know, God has put her in my life for a reason. You know, those of you who are married, you'll know that your partner, your spouse, your husband, your wife, you know, they're there for a really good reason. And God knows how to put people together. And, you know, she's always punctual. She's always on time. I'm the late one. You know, if you ask the kids who they want to go with, so if the kids wanted someone to take them somewhere or get something done, 9 times out of 10, in fact, I would say 99.9999 times, they'll choose mom over dad. You know, if they want to get there, and they want to get there on time, just, you know, mom's the word. It's not dad. Just know dad won't be there. You know, dad, what time are you going to be home? Okay, 7. Okay. 7:15, 7:30. I used to send texts to my wife in the ETA, that's the estimated time of arrival. Like I'm an airplane. I'm going to be taxied in at approximately 6:55. send. All of a sudden, it's, oops, it's 6:05. Sorry, no, it's 7:05 now, and I'm sending another one. So I add 10 minutes, and I say, 7:15, send. And then I'm getting into the car, and I just write, oh, it's actually 7:15 now as I'm getting into the car. So I do a quick one, 7:20, send. And then with a bit of luck, I'm home just before 7:30. I guess that habit's not quite working, is it? I need a new habit. I need a system. I need a system. See, my wife said to me that her dad, see, in her family, she had the same, you know, they had the same, this same gremlin kind of hung around her family too. But she learned, because her mom was the one that was always late. But her dad was always on time. And she learned, not from her mom, but from her dad. I said, my dad said, if I get there, if they say the meeting is 7 o'clock and I get there 7 o'clock, I'm late. Yes. Said, always aim to be 10 minutes early. Yes. Amen? Yes. You know, this African church, we have a bit of a reputation. I'm not going to say it's not all Africans, because my wife always cries me, don't say all Africans. We're not like that. We aren't like that. Say the West Africans. Ooh. Did I say that? No. I can see how you've been. I'm saying no. There you go. Lest we split the church in two now. All the people at the front, all the ladies comes at the back. No. But she learned from her dad to be on time. And her dad always said he aims to be 10 minutes early for every appointment. So if his appointment was 7 o'clock, he needs to be there 10 to 7. If he got there 5 to 7, he was late. If he got there 2 minutes to 7, he was late. If he got there at 7 o'clock, he was really late. You know, but there's a lesson in there. Tiny adjustments. You see, and it's interesting because it's a lesson I've known about before. See, my pastor, Pastor Paul, he's been one of the best examples of timekeeping to me ever. Now, I remember going out with him one time. We were going to a meeting, and you remember this, Paul, and it was in, I think it was in Virginia Water at the time, thereabouts, yeah, back in the day. And we're going to, was it Pastor Scott's church? So yeah, and we were running late, as he put it. We were running late because we'd let the time slip a little bit. I think we'd lost our way on this occasion, which is really unusual for Pastor Paul. If you know Paul, I mean, he's Mr. A to Z. But somehow we'd gotten lost in the muddle. And so, you know, he sort of steps in it, and we eventually got there with a few minutes to spare. But I thought, wow. And that was us missing our way with everything that went wrong and a few mishaps and stuff. But we still got there with a few minutes to spare. So there was something about Paul. If we needed to go somewhere, he'd tell me, he'd say, Temi, Bambi, he would say, Bambi, you ready? I said, yeah, I'm riding shotgun. So it was a little thing, yeah. That means he's in the driver's seat. I'm in the passenger seat beside him. My head out the window, guns loaded. You know what I mean? But yeah, we had a few fun trips like that together. But always, he's always got me there on time. He said to me once, he said, I'm a better steward of your time than you are. But ooh, but so true. You know, so true. Something I learned from Pastor Jo in her book. And it's, you won't see these words anywhere in the book. It's actually on the outside cover. You know, my whole heart, I've still not finished reading that book. I started to read it. I'm reading it with my wife, and she's, I'm not sure, have you finished it yet, love? Almost. She's reading it again. I haven't even, no, I'm still at the beginnings of it. Well, there you go, say no more. But I call it DPH. How many of you heard GPH? GBH? DPH. I'm kidding with you. DPH. It's called Deep Personal Honesty. Deep Personal Honesty. You know, that's a beginning line for me. Deep personal honesty. And it was also a line you could read right past it and not even notice it. But throughout the book, he said that this book is written with deep personal honesty. It was a review of the book. It says, Pastor Joe writes with deep personal honesty. She shares her life. Her life story, her messages. That's why they connect with people, because there's such deep personal honesty. Truth. The Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. Deep personal honesty. And so I had to be honest with myself about our shortcomings. And to say, I could argue my way out that, you know what? There's 100 people in church. I'll be number 5 there. That's not so bad. I'm not that bad after all. Deep personal honesty. See, the heart deceives itself. But if we're honest with ourselves, God wants us in 2019 to have such a measure of deep personal honesty. I believe it was what David had in the Psalms when he wrote, Lord, you desire truth in the inward parts. Truth in the inward parts. See, when we get to that level, when you get to that level of truth, of deep personal honesty, then God can start to shift some things around you. God can start to make some of those tiny adjustments. Otherwise, we keep on repeating the same cycles in our lives. But God wants to do something amazing in us in 2019. But it's going to be a little here and a little there. It's going to be those fine tweaks, those fine adjustments. But if we submit and yield ourselves to God, then we'll find that come the end of 2019, we'll be in that place where God wants us to be, and he'll get all the praise and he'll get all the glory. Shall we stand to our feet? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, on that level of deep personal honesty, I want to just encourage us, you know, to have what I call an accountability partner. Someone that you hold yourself accountable to. You know, husbands and wives, there's a natural match made in heaven right there. You know, your wife will tell you. Somebody asked me once, said, you know, if you had bad breath, would you prefer for your wife to tell you, or someone outside to tell you, or somebody to pass out under the anointing as you came close? So there are close relationships in our lives that God has set us up with. You know? And so I want everyone to have an accountability partner. Husbands, be accountable to your wives. Wives, be accountable to your husbands. The Bible says, submit to one another. You know, if you've got a friend, you know, if you're a good friend, then you'll be honest with your friend. And tell them the truth. You know, because the truth will bless them. The truth will save their lives. The truth, Bible says, you know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Free from your past, free from your shortcomings, free from those little gremlins that will rob you of God's best. You know, God wants his best to shine forth. Bible says we're being renewed day by day. Every time a message comes from the pulpit for you, a little renewing. Every time you go to your cell meeting, a little tweak, a little renewing on the inside, right there in that meeting. Every time you attend a conference, you know, a little tweak, a little renewing. Do something with that word every time. Make a commitment in 2019 that, Lord, I'm going to be a doer. I'm going to be a runner. I'm going to go to the gym. Whatever it is, I'm going to eat right. All of those things But we need systems in place that help us, that remind us. So we bow our heads. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your word today. Father, thank you, Lord, for your call upon each one of us, Father, for the person that you've called us to be, for the fathers that you've called us to be, for the wives that you've called us to be, for the sons that you've called us to be, for the daughters that you've called us to be, for the ushers and stewards that you've called us to be, for the cell leaders that you've called us to be, for all the different areas of ministry and service, Lord, that you've called us to be, Lord, in 2019. Father, we humble ourselves under your mighty hand, Heavenly Father. Lord, we say that we will cooperate, Father. We will align ourselves with your Spirit. We'll align ourselves with the Holy Spirit. We will meditate upon your word day and night, that we may observe to do according to all that is written therein, Father. And thereby we shall make our way prosperous. Thereby we shall have good success. Father, we bless you. Father, we give you the praise and we give you the glory in Jesus' precious name. And everyone said, amen. Hallelujah.